we got Joe right now. Yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there.
Hey guys,
I thought it was.
I got one other one that absolutely just knocked me off my chair, and that was Phil Fulmer ate my other sign.
Of course, I didn't see that.
We all kind of liked the one too that was, you know, sort of a reference to the book people had said, you guys are blocking the library.
Yeah, that was my other favorite one. Good stuff, though. Joe, you said it after the game. I don't remember if it was on the air or not, but it was basically a perfect week for Vanderbilt, wasn't it? With all the hype leading up to the game, the game day festivities that started at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, and, you know, the 12 hours that culminated in a Vandy one-point win over Auburn, it was great stuff over on West End.
As it worked out, I don't think it could have gone any better. You know, you're always concerned, and certainly I know Vanderbilt fans were, because of all the buildup, and you're afraid, boy, that the team for some reason lays an egg in the game and gets blown away, and it just takes away all that national attention and exposure, and puts it in a bad taste in your mouth. And the way the first quarter started, everybody was obviously saying, uh-oh, you know, here it goes. And then, as this Vanderbilt team has now done every week of the season, they turned it up a notch and shut down the opposing offense and scored enough points to win the game and made the plays they had to make. And, you know, when Auburn missed the extra point, I remember John Gromos looking at me and saying, well, you know, how many times does a missed extra point come back to haunt you? And as it turned out, that's exactly what happened.
Joe, I think it's safe to say Mackenzie Adams was reeking of confidence. He was out there playing with a swagger. I mean, that's, you know, we kind of throw that around a lot, but he really was making plays with his legs and doing something that only LSU has been able to do this year on the Auburn defense, and that is make plays through the air and convert some third downs. I thought the touchdown pass to Wheeler right before the half was maybe the biggest play of the game.
Yep.
Because it really set things up. It changed the momentum. It really got things in motion for the second half.
No, I totally agree. That was a huge boost going to the locker room for them to be down 13-7, because, you know, in many ways, Auburn had totally controlled that first half. And you know, when Auburn came out running the football as they did that first drive, they just handed it to Ben Tate running left and Ben Tate running right, and they marched it down the field. And, of course, Vanderbilt stopped them on the goal line with another one of those stands. But you had to be concerned that that was going to be the Auburn game plan, just keep running the football and keep handing it off. And certainly 44 of their 66 plays were running plays, but it felt like to a lot of people, and certainly to me, that if whether it was an adjustment made by Vanderbilt or a philosophical decision by Auburn, that they sort of went away from it a little bit. And when they did, it sort of gave Vanderbilt a chance to step back up on their feet, make plays, and get back in the game. And, you know, that second half, I remember thinking that second half, well, we've seen this already four times this year. You know, a close game, defense having to make another stand, and they did it again and again and again. And we even commented during the game, you talked about the swagger of Mackenzie Adams. He certainly had that. But this team has that swagger, and it seems to come forward even more as the game goes on. It's as if this team seems to get stronger as the game goes on, and that's the way they've played all year.
And the defense, again, doing a good job mixing up the blitzes. And I was saying earlier, it seemed like Auburn was in third and long the entire night.
Yep, five sacks in the game, and Auburn in the second half, I think sacks have a lot to do with this total, but Auburn had 4 yards rushing in the second half. They had 57 total yards in the second half. I mean, they were just totally shut down, and it was Vanderbilt that was making the big plays. Six third down conversions by Vanderbilt of 17 attempts. That's far better than anybody else had done against that Auburn defense all season long. Vanderbilt perfect in the red zone again. They're 18 for 19 on the season in scoring in the red zone. That's a phenomenal statistic. And as we said, five sacks. They had another interception, so they're going to be among the conference and national leaders in both those categories again this week. Of course, nationally ranked in the top 15 now in AP and the USA Today poll. So it's just an amazing story that just keeps getting even more amazing.
Joe, well, real quick, just from the Auburn side, it was interesting hearing their people. The biggest shock was the inability of the Auburn receivers to separate from the Vanderbilt defenders. You did not really see an open receiver all night.
And I don't think that's a surprise to Vanderbilt people. I mean, everybody knows the Vanderbilt secondary is much faster than they have been, and they're veterans, and they've played very well. And so I don't think that's a big shock. Again, I think the bigger concern was that Auburn was just going to try to line it up and mash you with Tate and with Lester and Davis and just keep rotating those tailbacks in. And And certainly they did it at times, but they didn't do it for the majority of the game. And I think the defense sent a little bit of a message there in the second half that, you know, they were not going to be denied. And, you know, another goal line stand in this game, I don't know how many of them they've got this year. It's just it's been phenomenal.
Well, the rock stars Joe Fisher and Bobby Johnson will have the coaches show tonight on at the Commodore Grill over on West End, 6:30 here on The Zone. Joe, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, guys. We'll see you later.